Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
Yes, Lord, we pour out our praise to you only.
Thank you, Jesus. You know what? Are you guys ready for me? I don't know if we got all our praising in. Before you're seated, let me give you 3 points. 3 people or 3 classes of people should not praise God. Scripture said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. So if you're breathing, you're supposed to praise. The second people that shouldn't praise the Lord, it said, bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. So if you're a prisoner right now, I know why you're not praising. But there is a scripture that says, praise will break the power of prison and release the captive. Put up your hands as high as you can. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We have been free. Set free.
Hallelujah.
And you know, one more thing. The third one is the dead praise not God. Them are all scriptures, but I'm alive. Father, I ask you to speak. We're all hungry. We're all wanting more of you. We're all wanting a manifestation of your presence. We all want to be refired, reset. We want to move in your purposes. Speak through me. Don't let me say anything I shouldn't. Let me say everything you want the people to hear. And Lord, let the service end with victory and glory and praise and honor to your name. And everybody said, thank you. I just want to tell you that every single song you chose is in my sermon notes. Now, you watch as I give you the outline. Every song that you sang, nobody, not even Pastor Chris or Pastor Jordan, Pastor Chip, or even Pastor David knew what I was going to preach. In fact, I wanted it to be so that God would confirm his word. It's very prophetic what I'm going to share. I told in the early service that the day before 9/11, a prophecy came to me as I stepped to the pulpit. I was supposed to preach, but I couldn't preach. I started prophesying. Everything will be shaken that can't be shaken, that which cannot be shaken will remain. And then the warning came of great problems. And that's a kind of put a damper for an opening to a sermon. But I had to obey God, and I outlined many things prophetically that were going to take place. And then the next morning, about 8 o'clock, the phone rang. It wasn't time to get up. The service wasn't starting. I think, Gary, you were there, and some of our pastors were there. About 40 of our pastors from New York, Dallas, from Pennsylvania, from various cities in California, and they were there. And I thought I would sleep in a little bit and get refreshed. And the phone rang. It was Pastor David. And he said, Apostle C, turn on the television. I thought, my Lord, what's he calling me up this early in the morning? It was 8 o'clock. And so I turned the TV on just in time to see the second plane hit the towers. And then I saw the shaking, and I saw as I was glued to that television, tears running down my face, sick to my stomach, thinking of the thousands. Now, literally, the buildings usually had 50,000 people in the buildings. The devil miscalculated. He took the wrong time, but 3,000 lives were snatched out. Well, there was no use that morning of preaching. We just got on our face before God. Nothing else to do. There were no planes. We couldn't, all of these people couldn't get on a plane. They had shut down all the airports. So we prayed and cried out to God. I feel this kind of prophetic unction now coming on me again. The last time it happened was when I was in the Philippines, in the old Folks Art Theater that Merelda built. It probably $50, $60 million, beautiful, beautiful opera house, packed and jammed. 800 Catholics, nuns and priests were filled with the Holy Ghost during that particular night. The prophetic word was, from this night on, there will be crisis after crisis. The next day, the embassy in Iran was invaded, and 100 and some of our Americans were taken prisoners, and terrible. And then the day after that, Mount St. Helens belched. And I began to keep a record. I threw the record away because it's too negative. Crisis after crisis. But the thing that God said in the prophetic was that God answers the present world crisis with a supernatural revival of miracles. And there were no mega churches. Today, all over the world, there are churches with hundreds of thousands of people. There are people praising God 24/7. Praise is going up. Prayer was going up. Intercession is going up. Revival is sweeping. Listen, now let me give you the prophecy that provoked me to tell you. 2017 is the year of transition. Open your Bibles to Joshua, the first chapter, verse 1 to 6. Now it came to pass after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' servant. God said, my servant Moses is dead. Now, therefore, say that with me, now, therefore, arise, cross this Jordan, you and all the people, to the land which I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even as far as the great river, the river of Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, as far. And he goes on to give the measure to the great sea towards the setting of the sun. It'll all be your territory. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Now, the amazing thing about biblical geography is that this something that will happen in one place, and then later something else will happen in that same place, and then later something else will happen in that place. And then you begin to see a common theme. In this way, Jordan River represents a transition for God's people as seen in three different places in the Bible. Number one, in this particular passage, Israel had been wandering for 40 years in the desert. Should have taken them 11 days to get from Egypt to the promised land, but it took 40 years. They went round and round and zigged and zagged. You know what? I'm tired of zigging and zagging, and I want to tell you something. I'm tired of seeing the church talk about things that are not happening, preach about things that we're not seeing. I'm sick and tired of seeing God's people pushed around and ravished. I have a disgust and a disdain for lukewarmness and complacency and indifference. I think the Church of Jesus Christ is the light and the salt and the fire of God is in the church. And yet, I see a great transition taking place this year, 2017. People are coming out of the wilderness. They're coming out of bondage. They're coming out of imprisonment. They're coming out of slaves to sin and habits and wishy-washy, teeter-totter, namby-pamby, old traditions that have kept them bound and held back. I see a new move of the Holy Ghost that is greater than Pentecost, that greater than the revival of healing, greater than the revival called latter rain, greater than the revival of deliverance, greater than the revival that we've seen in of the Jesus movement and the hippie movement and all of these great movements, and I thank God for every one of them. I've been in every movement of God except Azusa Street. That happened in 1906. But every move of God ends. And there's another transition, and another transition, and another transition. And here in the Old Testament, after 40 years, God appears and tells them it's time to cross into the land of promise. Moses is dead, and he's telling Joshua to transition. It was a transition from Moses to Joshua. It was a transition from the wilderness to the promised land. It was a transition, are you listening to this, from defeat, from failure, from grumbling and griping and sickness and every kind of horror that you can imagine, to the land that flows with milk and honey. Well, there was another transition in the New Testament. Of course, it talks about the Jordan River. By the way, the Jordan River is a holy place. I'm going to give you a scripture to show you that it's a holy place. But Jordan, Jesus said to John the Baptist, his first cousin, I want to be baptized. Now here's the Son of God asking John the Baptist to baptize him. And he does reluctantly baptize him. But as Jesus was coming out of the water, a voice spoke. And it was God's voice. Everybody heard it. This is my beloved son. If you're an atheist, God said Jesus was his son. If you are an unbeliever and don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, hear this voice in the scripture. There were hundreds, perhaps thousands heard the voice. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And then not only is it a transition from John the Baptist to Jesus Christ, it's a transition from the old legalistic, old order to the new covenant, to the new dispensation. Grace and truth came from Jesus Christ. The law came with John the Baptist, but grace and truth. We are living in a new dispensation. This is a new time. This is a new season. Listen to me. From the promised land, and it represents the provisions of God, the blessings of God, the glory of God. God was saying to them, leave behind the old trinkets. Leave behind the old traditions. Leave behind your old doubts and fears, ungodly belief systems. Leave them alone. It's time now for you to cross the Jordan, and we're going to have new victories. We're going to have a new anointing. We're going to see a new place in God. But there's a negative. There's going to be oppositions. There's going to be enemies. There's going to be demonic forces. There's going to be ISIS. There's going to be Iran. There's going to be North Korea. There's going to be communism. There's going to be atheism. There's going to be socialism. There's going to be all kinds of isms. But listen, when we cross over, listen to me, all the isms are going to be wasms. Hallelujah. Hey, how about that? And so God speaks to Joshua. Three times in three verses, he says, be strong and courageous. Verse 6 of the first chapter. Verse 7, be strong and courageous. Be very strong, verse 9, and courageous. Why does God repeat it three times? Simply because they were scared spitless. They were afraid. The meanest people, the worst terror that you could imagine was waiting with those enemy kings and enemy armies there in Jericho and in all of these places. And they had to cross over. Listen to me. God's promise was no man will be able to stand before you or against you. Just as I was with Moses, I'll be with you. I didn't believe that. I could not believe that God would be with me like he was with Moses. But I'm going to tell you some miracles that happen even today. Miracles can happen to you because every miracle God ever done, he done on a day just like today. I'm tired of hearing about what God used to do, what God did. I love history, and I read about all the revivals. I've read every revival book that anyone's made available to me, but I want to tell you something. I prophesy to you, you ain't seen nothing yet of what God is going to do. 2017 is transition time. Everybody raise your hands and shout transition three times. Transition. Transition, transition. Why did God say three times, be courageous and strong? Because they were afraid. God was saying, leave your fears behind you. So point number one, we have got to swallow our fears. We're going to new territory. It's going to be a place of great opposition. It's going to be a place of real enemies. It's going to be a place of challenges. It's going to be a place of war. But it's also going to be a place of great victory and great conquest. In the Old Testament, there's another scene at the Jordan River. Elijah was asked by Elisha, a young man, for a double portion. The arrogance of a young man saying to his prophet, mentor, Elijah, give me twice as much as you got. I want a double portion. How many would love to have a double portion? Stand on your feet if you would really love to have a double portion. Put up both hands and both feet. Hallelujah. Just say, God, give me a double portion of what you gave the early church. Give me a double portion of what you gave the apostles and prophets. Not to show off, not to be so great. But God, your church, your world, the nations need to hear, need to be saved and delivered. Come on, put up your hand. Let's just do some interceding right now. God, give us a double portion, a double portion. Let us overflow. Let us run over. Let our cup be running over. Let the rivers of God be released in us, living water. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for you now as your hands are raised. God, I'm audacious now. I'm being audacious. I'm saying things that are audacious. Oh, God, I pray that you will fill everyone with a double portion of your spirit and power and anointing. Oh God, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Everybody, can you just let the Holy Spirit just move over you? Hallelujah. You got to swallow your fears. They're taking this bold step. And God says to Joshua, be strong. You got to swallow your fears. They're getting ready to enter hostile territory. Face the evil band of the enemy. And the enemy hated them. Did you hear what happened yesterday in London? Did you hear what happened three different times in less than 2 weeks? The enemy is around. I don't want you to be afraid. I want you to cast off your fears. These are troublesome times. But we've got a prophetic anointing that says in the middle of this mess, in the middle of the trouble, there's going to be an army called the Church of Jesus Christ that rises up. Come on. The church. The hope. It's not in the Republican Party. It's not in the Democratic Party. It's not in the Socialist Party. It's not in any other organization or party, but it is the Church of Jesus Christ. Not an organized religion, but it is a church, an organism full of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God transitioning in the new territory. Somebody shout hallelujah. Today we're in the middle of an unstable economy. Everywhere I look, people are afraid. They're afraid of losing their jobs. They're afraid of the company that they work for is going to close. The banks are going to fail. Everybody's tense. What an opportunity for the church to talk about God's faithfulness and God's grace and God's love and God's provision, that I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Praise the Lord. Before you're seated, one more time, put your hands up and praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Fill them, Lord, full. You may be seated. If you know the truth is you can't be laid off from your job. If you lose your job, it's just because God has been transferring you somewhere else. Because we're secure in our Father's love. Because we're secure that he cares for us. That we don't have to worry. You cast your care, the Bible said. The word care is from the word worry. You cast your worry upon him. Let him carry your worries. Let him carry your fears. Let him carry all of these stressed out things. Three men met me in the coffee shop a while ago and said, thank you for that word. I came here so sick and tired of being sick and tired. I came here so weary. You see, the wilderness went round and round for 40 years. Sometimes when you keep going round and round, over and over and over the same thing, you think that it can never change. Honey, stand up. Stand up. And Sharon, you stand up. And I'm not going to embarrass you. But six therapists, after 35 days, 5 days in the hospital and 30 days in another therapy hospital, six people that were giving her all kinds of therapy said she'll never be normal again. Six people said she'll need a caregiver the rest of her life. Six authorities. And my daughter began to cry. And I said, oh God, I can't believe that lie. I can't accept that. I can't give in to that fear. These are professionals. These have taken her blood. They've taken all the analysis. They've done this. They've done that. And they say, it'll never happen. But I say, it is transition time. Hallelujah. It's time to transition into a new sense of destiny and purpose and victory. Hallelujah. And my wife walked all the way around the block yesterday without a stroller. Come on, hallelujah. Over a mile. This is not a year for us to be in retreat about anything. We should dream bigger than ever and step over those fears, tread upon those scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the devil. I got to get to something I didn't get to in the first service. Except when we go through wilderness situations, don't get conditioned to it. Don't do what the doctor said. Learn to live with it. Don't learn to live in the wilderness. Don't learn to live in fear and doubt and worry and anxiety and insomnia and cancer and arthritis. Don't learn to live with it. Learn to believe that God has something better for you. Something wonderful for you. A deliverance for you. I'm prophesying now. Now, this is what it's all about. This is what my church is always going to have. This is what my ministry is always going to have. We're always going to be this size. We're always going to be this small. It's always going to be this. Shut up! Number two, it's time that we're going to have to put on the whole armor of God. Joshua 1:14, Joshua told the men of the tribes of Gad, Manasseh, and Reuben, who wanted to stay on this side of Jordan, he said, gird up! Gird up, put on your battle array. He told them because some thought that they would just stay back. They were saved. They got their fire insurance. No, no, no. We're all going to fight. We're all going to battle. We're all going to war. We're all going to be victorious. We're all going to be overcomers. Come on, everybody. See, I don't believe that we have an elitist club here called Gateway. I believe every one of us are a part of the body of Christ, and there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism and one Lord Jesus Christ and one body of Christ, and we're all part of the body. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And we've all got the suit up. All of us have got the suit up. What is your purpose? What is your goal? What is your gifting? What is your ministry? All of us have a ministry. All of us have a purpose. None of us are going to just sit and warm the seats on Sunday morning for an hour and 10 minutes. We got a gift. All right? Let me give you another one. All right? We're going to have to set ambitious goals. God gave Joshua and his people a goal. They were to go and take Jericho. That was a big project. Jericho was a stronghold territory. This was something that was way beyond anybody's vision from the past. Today, God is saying, maybe you just have a little. Maybe it's been a struggle to get where you are right now. But I want you to work with me here because if you'll just dream, if you'll follow me, you'll put some bigger glasses on, have a bigger vision, and some big dream inside of your heart's going to be birthed. You just don't have any idea where I want to take you in this next season, 2017 through 2020. The greatest move of God that has ever hit the planet Earth is going to take place. And the greatest amount of persecution and conflict is going to happen at the same time, simultaneously. And so they come now to the water. And this is the fourth thing on the list. The Jordan River was just a little stream. It was so shallow, you could almost hop over it. But in the springtime, it was flooded. In parts of the Jordan, it was a mile across. And that's the time when God appeared to Joshua and said, go! Why didn't he say it when it was only 2 feet deep? Why didn't he say it when it was just a little tiny jump across? He waited until the banks overflowed. In the deepest place, God usually brings us to the most difficult place. He doesn't make it easy. Doesn't make us easy. Because if we could do it easy, we would think we did it. But if it's impossible, if it's beyond what we are able to do, then we know that it is God Almighty. Now, let me show you this. Let me show you this. He says, cross over now. Why didn't he wait? When we cross over, we're still going to have problems. The truth is we might even have bigger problems, but that's because we're going to have such big opportunities. If there was no problems, we wouldn't need the church. If there was no devil, we wouldn't need the church. If there was nobody sick, we wouldn't need doctors. We wouldn't need healing. Brothers and sisters, the world is ripe for a mighty move of God. And I promise you, and I can say, thus saith the Lord, we are transitioning in to the next move of God, and it'll be the greatest move of God. And let me tell you when it will end. It will end when the glory of God fills the entire earth, until everybody will have a manifestation of seeing the glory of God. They can reject it or receive it, but when the glory of God covers the earth as the waters cover the sea, then Jesus is coming. Hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. The whole earth going to be filled with the glory. Listen. Number five, we're going to have to consecrate ourselves. Before Joshua and the people actually went across, they had a time of consecration. Except for the faithful Caleb and Joshua, who were still standing, you know, tall, there was a whole new generation that had not been circumcised. They were born in the wilderness, and they had this putting off, putting away. Extremely important that we take steps to consecrate ourselves before we move forward. The Lord has laid a fast on me. I'm going to go on a fast. And he told me how many days. I'm reconsecrating and recommitting my life. I'm not satisfied. You say, but you've been preaching 69 years. Not enough. It's time to retire. Don't say amen. It's not time for me to retire. It's time for me to refire. All right. Thank you. I needed that. Because the devil says you're too old. God wants you to set your sights high in the next season. He wants to lay some big new assignments in front of you. There are some Jerichos out there that have your name on it. And in the next season, you're going to discover what this is all about. So we're going to have to consecrate ourselves. Now, this other one is so important. We're going to expect new provision. I waited today to give you this. Got a call from our dear, darling, wonderful pastor, black pastor, African-American. She calls me dad, and she's a real daughter in Oxnard. The city came and said, get out of this building. You're in violation. And they closed the door. They can't have church. And she called me and said, Dad, what am I going to do? I said, praise God. This is great. They kicked you out of your building. You're transitioning. Because I had just given her a prophecy the week before, I lie not, and she'll be here to tell you at our conference in October. I said, you got to get out of that building. I don't know what it's going to take to get out. You're in the wrong area. You're in a bunch of places where nobody even knows how to get to you. Now, they kicked her out, and they're meeting in a big hotel conference room. Hallelujah. And I'm going to go there in 2 or 3 weeks. We're going to find a building. We're going to find it in a neighborhood where people live. Where people are that need God. So she's happy and excited. Then I get a call from a man that's a member of this church, he says. And his name is Stucky. Now, does anybody here from Evangel or Calvary Gospel remember a guy by the name of Stucky? He sang on our broadcast. He's African-American. He sang with the Hawkins Singers. He sang with Andrew Crouch. He sang with, you know, Audrey Myers and all. And he says, Pastor. And I'm saying, Stucky, I don't have a problem remembering, folks. I just forgot. He said, I'm in trouble. He said, I've got to have this, and I got to have that. And he needed thousands of dollars. And he needed a place to store all of his equipment and all of his records. And he said, I'm going to have an auction. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I said, just a minute. Let me pray about something. And I, And I prayed. And I asked God to help him find someone that will invest, because he's putting out a new CD and he doesn't have the money, that invest in him, because he'll give a good return and he's going to make it. And I prophesied. I get a call yesterday and he said, all my worries over. A businessman has bailed me out. He's invested money. We're talking about thousands of dollars. Come on, thousands, thousands. I could give you another four testimonies. I'm just saying, expect new provisions. When they crossed Jordan, the manna stopped. And they got new food. They got the crops. They ate the fruit of the land. Expect big provisions, because we're crossing into a land with opportunities that are bigger than anything Gateway, Calvary, Gospel, Crossroads, or Evangel ever had. Opportunities galore. How many need provisions? How many need finances? Put up your hand. We're going to transition for new sources and resources and new opportunities. I'm not asking you to invest in this and invest in that. People say, should I get gold? Should I get silver? I'm not. Invest in the kingdom of God, in winning souls, in missions, in feeding the hungry and clothing the naked. We're going to step into place next season when the church, we're going to hear so much amazing testimonies of the supernatural provision. God is getting ready to transfer wealth, some big fruit in the land God is placing in our hands for the next season. Are you ready for a new economy? Say the word transition. Now say transcendental. Now all of that means kingdom. We are going into a kingdom economy. Now I don't care what the market says. We're going into a kingdom economy. I don't care what the market says. We're going into a transcendent economy. We're crossing into the land and possessing the land. And it's going to be miraculous. It's going to be supernatural. Are you listening to me? And then the last one, we need a new visitation. We're going to need a new visitation. Before they went to conquer Jericho, the Bible tells us Joshua had a visitation. In the fifth chapter of Joshua, it says, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn and in his hand. And Joshua went unto him with the sword, and he said, are you for us or against us? Are you our adversaries or are you for us? And this person that appeared, he said, neither, but I am the captain. I am the Lord of hosts. I'm taking charge. I am now come. And you know what Joshua did? Joshua fell on his knees, and no doubt his face in the mud. What do you want me to do? Joshua said, take off your shoes, for the ground, this Jordan ground, is holy ground. And Joshua, General Joshua, commander-in-chief, now met the commander-in-chief, the Lord of Lords. We sang his name. We sang about the king and all of his power. Joshua was bowing down. Now look at me. You think we're crazy when we ask you to raise your hands and hail his majesty, King Jesus? Take off your shoes. You think we're crazy because we sometimes praise until our voice and our throat is dry? Do you think we're nuts because his majesty has appeared? The commander-in-chief, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of armies. Take off your shoes. It's holy ground. I promise you that you're never going to see Jesus absent from your life as long as you want him in your life. And you that are away from God, you that are backslidden, you that have never had a relationship, wouldn't you like to see Jesus? How many would like to see Jesus? Not in heaven. How many would like the presence of Jesus so strong? Let me tell you one more story, just right hot off the griddle. I went in April to Sun Fannin's church. Her son had the worst possible sickness that you could ever imagine. 135 days in intensive care. He died. Every faculty dead. But he went to heaven and he visited heaven. And he began to describe to me about heaven. After 135 days, gone, dead, heart stopped, everything dead. God raised him up from the dead. I got the privilege of laying hands upon him in April. Hallelujah. And asked God to completely restore his memory. He doesn't remember certain scriptures. He used to preach. He couldn't remember certain things. But now God is restoring him. And it's one of the greatest miracles I've ever witnessed in my life. Listen, folks. Do you ready for miracles? Are you ready for miracles? Are you ready for God to use you? Do you want to get rid of that fear? Do you want to get rid of your condemnation and guilt? Do you want to get rid of your sin right now? In just a few seconds, we're going to say a prayer. And we're going to ask God to save you, forgive you, to restore you, to bring you back. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We're transitioning now. You can't live the way you're living. You're sick and tired of being sick and tired. You're going around and around. You're miserable. You're unhappy. Your sleep is going and your body's not reacting right. And things aren't happening in your marriage and in your family and at work. And things are all wrong. Oh, this is a good word. You're going to transition. But it was God that said, Joshua, arise and go. And so bow your heads, everyone, and close your eyes. And I'm going to ask everyone here that needs Jesus to come into your life. You need Jesus to wash away your sins. You need forgiveness. You need to know for sure that he's appeared to you in this word, in this message, in this prophecy, that today is the day to arise. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that he wants to change your life. This is the beginning of the transition for you. Every head bowed and every eye closed. How many will say, Pastor, that's me. Pray for me. I want to get right with God. God bless you. God bless you. Quickly, just put your hands up. I want to get back to God. I'm away from God. I need you. Another three. One, two, three on the left. Hi. I see one back there. I want to get right with God. I want to be forgiven. I want to be ready. I want to transition. How many here are tired of your life the way it is now and you want to see change? You want to see change. Yes, 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 yes. All right. I'm praying right now. And I want you to say this prayer. Everybody raise your hands as high as you can. We're going to say this prayer. Lord Jesus, I heard the word. The call has come. Like to Joshua, it's come to me. Arise and cross over. Now, Lord Jesus, I want to cross over. Out of my sin, out of my fear, out of my rebellion, I'm coming to you. I'm coming back home where I belong. Jesus, wash me, cleanse me. Come in, Lord. And be my Lord, be my Savior, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What song are you going to sing? I'm ready to cross over.
Just give it up for Apostle C. Good word. Good word. Good word. Good word. Yeah, put your shoes back on. God bless. Transition, everybody say transition. Transition time. Listen, how many know you can't transition by yourself? We need one another. There's a card that's in the seat pocket in front of you here. Many decisions are being made here this morning, this afternoon now, for Christ. Maybe sometimes we have people that come for the very first time, receive Christ into their lives, or maybe renewing a commitment to serve the Lord. Listen, fill that card out and drop that in the offering basket as it comes by in a few minutes, because we want to help you. Don't transition alone. We want to help you. If you got some information, if you have a question, if you want prayer requests, fill that out and drop that in the offering as it comes by here soon, and we'll be in contact with you, especially if you're making a decision to follow Christ, because we want to partner together with you to make sure you cross over that Jordan, as we heard prophetically this morning, to live the new life in Jesus. Amen. Okay, everybody, we're going to receive the offering here right now this morning. Father, we thank you. Your word says, give and it'll be given unto us, pressed down, shaken together. We thank you, Lord God, that we can sow into this transition. As we give, Lord, you said there's an abundance, and we just thank you that that prophetic word rests on this house this morning. We give cheerfully, we give in abundance to you, Lord God, as you've blessed us, Lord, and we all say yes to the word we heard this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Ushers, let's wait upon the people and let's worship the Lord.
We love you, Jesus. Let's sing it together, church. All the earth will sing.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
As high as you can.
So
we sing this. We pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. Hold hands. I want to bless you. Hold hands. Hold hands. The Bible says that we're to do this as often as we meet. The children of Israel were to say, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto thee. God's grace be with you as you transition. Pastor Ellen gave a testimony to me. She called a few days ago. They were trying to break the trust. It would have cost $500,000 loss. She said, pray, pray. Do you remember that point? Expect new provision. We prayed, and I said, don't worry about it. Get the board together. Tell them it's wrong to lose $500,000. $500,000. She came up to me after the service, said, I got good news. The board met, the trustees, $500,000. They're waiting in the trust for 10 years to let it grow for another $500,000. Come on, shout hallelujah. So the blessings of God are real. They're real.
Amen. 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 We got our prayer teams up here. Some of you in transition, you need prayer. Come on up here to the front here. But hey, listen, in a few seconds, we're going to go through the door here out into our mission field. Let's make an impact in the city this week. What do you say? Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for Apostle C. We just committed to you. We give you praise for it, Father. And now we bless the people in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.